From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. We're 4 days away from the new year, Lunar New Year. The year of the dog starts Friday. We talk with Colleen Euler of the Walters Art Museum to hear what's on offer at its celebration of Lunar New Year this weekend. Dances, music, and art making, and how it connects to the Walters' famed collection of Asian art. And we asked Professor Wei Sun, principal and co-founder of the Baltimore Chinese School, what he'd like visitors to know about Lunar New Year.
We consider this as a special day because this is the time that we honor our ancestors and honor people who contribute to our community. And we also want to take this opportunity to share our culture with other communities in the area.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Most people think of January 1st as the time for New Year celebrations, but many cultures and religions mark new beginnings during other times of the year. One of these is the Lunar New Year, observed by several Asian cultures, celebrated this year on February 16th. That's Friday. Later in the show, we'll hear about Lunar New Year activities and performances that visitors to the Walters Art Museum can experience. That will take place on Sunday. To explain the significance and customs surrounding the Lunar New Year, Dr. Wei Sun is with us. He is principal and co-founder of the Baltimore Chinese School. Originally from Beijing, Sun has been a professor of mathematics education at Towson University since 1996. Welcome, Dr. Sun.
It's an honor to be here.
I've heard of Chinese New Year. Is that different from Lunar New Year?
Well, it's really the same. When we talk about Lunar New Year, in old days we would say it's Chinese New Year. But now we simply just say that's Lunar New Year because many countries celebrate the same.
It's not just a Chinese celebration.
No.
What are some of the other countries that celebrate Lunar New Year?
Okay, countries in Southeast Asia, for example, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, and North and South Korea, they also celebrate the same Lunar New Year.
And what is the significance of the Lunar New Year?
Well, the Lunar New Year is the time when family get together. It's similar to Thanksgiving holidays in the U.S. Family will get together. They will basically say goodbye to the cold winter and then welcome the spring season.
And is it always this time of year, early in February?
It's really between late January and late part of February, so during the months, because it's not the same every year.
And I assume it is based on something that the moon is doing.
Yes.
Is there a formula for it? Does it mark a new moon? Or
I think it's really the beginning of the new cycle. When we look at the moon, the full moon is really not the New Year's Day. The New Year's Day is when there is no moon. But then by the 15th day, then we see the first full moon in the year.
The 15th day after the Lunar New Year.
Yes.
How is it typically celebrated? You mentioned it's like Thanksgiving.
Because this is so special, families will basically travel thousands of miles to go back to their family. And normally people will get together at the most senior person's house. It really started from a week before the New Year. People will start with honor the kitchen god. That's what we really refer to this special person. And in most families, especially in the countryside, they will have the paper image of the kitchen god, either above the stove or near the stove. Special food will be prepared for him because the old saying is the next day he's going up to the heaven and report to the Jade Emperor about every family. And starting from that day, basically a week from the New Year's Day, and then people will begin to prepare for the New Year.
So this is a little bit like Santa Claus checking his list in terms of getting reported to the higher authority what well, kind of family relations you have.
Or yeah, it has some similarity to it.
The Lunar New Year is marked by an animal, as I understand it, not a number like 2018.
Right.
The animal this year?
It's the year of the dog.
And what is the significance of the year of the dog?
Because people believe a dog is really a symbol of loyalty and friendship. So people say for those people who are born in the year of the dog, then they have the special characteristics of a friendship, loyal, they are smart, straightforward, and they have strong sense of responsibilities.
Who determines and how is it determined what animal will be each year's animal?
Well, there are a lot of stories about this. I think in ancient China, a day usually was divided into 12 segments. So people chose 12 different animals to represent each segment. But that's, I think, probably close to the truth because they chose the animals based on their activities during the day. So for example, mouse is the first animal on the zodiac list. And that represents really the midnight because mouse is going out to look for food. So it's more active at that time. But then there are other animals chosen for probably similar purposes. An interesting story, certainly this is really a made-up story, is that long time ago, the Jade Emperor at the time didn't have any guards, so he was looking for 12 guards. And then he sent a message to the world saying that he would choose 12 animals. And whoever get to the, what we call the Heavenly Gate, the first, then he will actually rank on the top. So then the next day, many, many animals set off for this travel or journey. But mouse got there first.
The mouse got there
right.
first and became the first
that's,
animal.
That's why he, the mouse is the first on the list.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Dr. Wei Sun, principal and co-founder of the Baltimore Chinese School and a professor at Towson University. We're talking about the Lunar New Year celebration and customs. Are there special gifts people exchange to commemorate the new year?
Well, they do. And normally when people come to see their parents, they have to bring like food. In old days, they will bring like pastries, desserts. Then they will help parents prepare what we call reunion dinner on the New Year's Eve. For older people, they normally give young children. It's a red envelope that contains money.
So red envelope with money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that tradition is still being kept because young children will be eager to see their parents, grandparents, because they will receive money for the new year.
I may be overinterpreting your analogy to Thanksgiving here in the U.S. One aspect of Thanksgiving is that it's not a religious celebration here. It's something that lots of people from different religions can share in. Mm-hmm. Is that true of Lunar New Year?
That's also true in Lunar New Year because it's not a religious holiday. It's a holiday for families. And even different minority groups will have the same holiday. They may have different customs, different traditions, but they all celebrate the same Lunar New Year.
What are some of the customs and traditions that are most shared?
Well, I think one is food. Well, even though they have different food, but that the tradition is we always have reunion dinner on New Year's Eve. And at that dinner, one special dish is always fish.
Fish?
Yes. Because in Chinese, fish, the sound of fish is the same as the sound of surplus. So when they have fish, and normally they don't want to eat the whole fish, they will leave some, and then they will say, let be fish every year, because that means you have surplus, you have profit, you have extra money.
Abundance.
Yes.
One of the things about that often happens with Thanksgiving here is when families don't live close by, kind of trying to figure out, are we going to go to mom's parents? Are we going to go to dad's parents? How are we going to work this out? Is there a set way of doing that in celebrating Lunar New Year?
Yes. Traditionally, the first day of the new year, people will go to husband's family. They'll visit husband's family. And then the next day or day after, they will visit wife's family. That's the tradition I think a lot of groups in China, ethnic groups, use. And also, when they visit the parents, they have to sort of like bring, especially in the countryside, they'll bring chicken, they'll bring duck, they'll bring basically food so that they can eat together.
They bring some of the feast.
Right.
How long does the celebration last?
The celebration really lasts for about 15 days. So it starts from the first day of the Lunar New Year, and it ends on the 15th day of the New Year. And the 15th day is special because it also marks the first full moon in the Lunar New Year. And that's the day that people will, a lot of families will have their second reunion dinner for family members who can make it. Sometimes because people only have a few days off and they are not living in the same city. So after the reunion for the new year, they may go back to their own place to work. But then for people who are in the same city, they'll probably gather together again.
We're going to talk in a few minutes to someone from the Walters Art Museum about the Lunar New Year celebration there. Students and parents from the Baltimore Chinese School will perform as part of the Walters New Year event on Sunday. What can visitors expect to see and hear there?
They will see a variety of performances from Baltimore Chinese School. We have children's choir that will sing two songs, one in Chinese, one in English. And we have children's dance group perform a dance. I think the title of the dance is Paper Cut Girls.
Tell me again.
Paper Cut Girls.
Paper Cut Girls.
Right. And then we also have Tai Chi performance. We'll also have adult dance, which is a folk dance, Chinese folk dance. And it's called The Female Role in the Chinese Opera.
What would you like visitors to take away from this celebration of the Lunar New Year?
Well, this celebration is really a special day for a lot of people, not just the Chinese. It's actually people in many Asian regions. And this we consider this as a special day because this is the time that we honor our ancestors, who honor people who contribute to our community in the U.S., in that case. We'll also use this occasion to really let the children know, especially the children of Chinese descent, that where their parents are from, where their culture is from. And we also want to take this opportunity to share our culture with other communities in the area.
Well, I appreciate your telling us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Wei Sun, math professor at Towson University and principal of the Baltimore Chinese School, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. We're talking about the upcoming Lunar New Year celebration and customs. Short break now on the record. Then we'll ask the education coordinator from the Walters Art Museum how you can experience the holiday. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the Lunar New Year that will be celebrated this Friday, February 16th. We spoke with Dr. Wei Sun from the Baltimore Chinese School, and now we're joined by Colleen Euler, Education Coordinator of Family Programs at the Walters Art Museum. She's here to tell us about the Day of Lunar New Year celebrations at the museum on Sunday. Welcome to On the Record, Colleen.
Thank you.
What's happening to commemorate the Lunar New Year at the Walters?
Lots is happening at the Walters. We're going to have lots and lots of fun. We will have performances, art making, scavenger hunts, tours, adult tours, and family tours, and just a lot of really great energy to celebrate the Lunar New Year.
Art making, that means what in this context?
That means, actually, for this project, we'll be creating celebration hats. So when you're in the museum, you are part of the celebration and you're wearing fun decor that celebrates the year of the dog with bells and colors of red. And just to note, we do that every weekend, actually. We do drop-in art making that's free, open to the public. So for Lunar New Year, it's specific to a party hat that you'll get to wear.
You mentioned several performances. Tell me about the performances.
So we'll have the Baltimore Chinese School, and they are multi-generational. So we'll have young performers to older performers doing a gamut of different things. We will have the John Hopkins Lion Dance Troupe.
And tell me about that. What is the Johns Hopkins Lion Dance Troupe?
Oh, they're wonderful. It's a very traditional dance for Lunar New Year. And it is several people making up one costume that dances in this choreographed, just beautiful display of energy. And there's drumming and just this incredible movement. And at one point, they throw out lettuce to the audience, and that represents luck. So if you're there, try to grab some lettuce.
Leaves of lettuce?
Actual.
Heads of lettuce?
Yeah. They tear off chunks from a head of lettuce and throw it out into the audience. It's the one time of year that the museum lets me get away with actually throwing things.
Throwing food, yes. Of all things.
Yeah. Yes.
Live music?
Yeah, lots of drumming. So they come with drummers that bring the lion into the space and really drive the dance. So the drumming really kind of drives the lion and gets him worked up until this big explosion of this lettuce throwing.
We talked about art making a little bit. What are the hands-on activities?
Yeah, so the art making, there's also a scavenger hunt that is really kind of exploring the Chinese zodiac and all the animals that comprise different Lunar New Year, you know, the different animals of the Lunar New Year's. This year's the dog. But we'll be exploring all of those different animals throughout our collection. So it's an exciting way to bring together this celebration of the Lunar New Year and the collection that we have at the Walters Art Museum.
Well, tell me more about that. I know the Walters has quite an impressive collection of Asian art. So you're tapping into that for this Lunar New Year celebration?
We are. So some of the scavenger hunt will certainly be in our Asian galleries and elsewhere, too, throughout the museum. So we're kind of bringing it in as a whole integration of our work and how it really is cross-cultural and looking at the collection as a whole to celebrate this really exciting day.
How does it come to be that the Walters is celebrating Lunar New Year?
I think there's a few reasons. We've done it for a very long time, and we want to embrace this very important holiday from the point of view of celebrating with people who do celebrate this tradition every year, but even furthermore, the education component of teaching people what Lunar New Year is and the significance of it. And then it ties back beautifully to our collection. So it's this integrated approach to what we can be for the Baltimore community, as well as how we can highlight some of our magnificent Asian works in our collection.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Colleen Euler, Education Coordinator in the Family Programs Department at the Walters Art Museum, about the Lunar New Year events that will take place at the Walters on Sunday. You're also providing something called a sensory break area. There will be a lot going on. Tell us about that.
The sensory break area will be located in two different parts of the museum. And the idea is that it's a quiet space. It's usually a little bit dimmer, and there are resources there. So there might be books, fidgets, weighted blankets, materials that can help someone calm down who might be overwhelmed by perhaps some of the noises or crowds.
Tell me what a fidget is. I know the verb fidget, but...
Yeah, a fidget is a tool we use in the museum for everybody because a museum is a space where you might want to touch things, but you're not supposed to touch things. So we find with... you know, a lot of children on our tours, or if we have a group with a lot of energy, just giving them something to hold in their hands as they move through the galleries or look at artwork, it's a good resource and a good tool.
So what physically is a fidget?
A fidget could be anything. So you could think of like a stress ball. You could think of anything you can hold and just kind of wiggle. Uh-huh. And it just brings some calm to your body and your movements.
So I have the impression that this approach ties in with something that the Walters has called Sensory Mornings.
Yes. Yeah, Sensory Morning is a program that the museum does quarterly. We work very closely with Kennedy Krieger Institute. They're a partner of the museum's. And we provide a program for families who have someone in their family who might have a sensory processing disorder. So this could be somebody on the autism spectrum. This could, you know, it could look like many different things. But the real point of the program is opening the museum up in a very safe way to someone who might otherwise not feel comfortable coming to the museum. So we're really considering how we can break down some threshold fears. So we open an hour early for our registered visitors.
So someone who wants to take part in a sensory morning tells you in advance, registers, to come early.
It's preferred. Uh-huh. It's preferred. It's not necessary because we are opening early for those specific individuals. It's free. So
everything we've been talking about is free.
Everything is free. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you for clarifying that.
So back with the sensory morning.
Mm-hmm.
Families come early before the museum is open to the general public. And what happens?
That's correct. We will focus in on one gallery space and set up stations throughout that gallery. And they're very interactive. So in front of different works in that gallery space, there could be art making. There are interpretive materials, so things to touch. For example, if we're looking at a marble bust, there will be pieces of marble that you can touch and feel. There could be portrait drawing or whatever could be engaging and connect to that piece and give individuals some kind of experience right there in the galleries. That's one of a few components of Sensory Morning. There's also, again, sensory break areas, and there's also studio time where families can go make art and have a sensory experience that way.
So many of us think of a museum as a really quiet, hushed place where people are reflecting on art. And some of what you're describing sounds like the opposite of that.
Yes. Yes, that is something I work very hard to kind of turn on its head because we have a phenomenal collection and it needs to be alive. And what makes that collection come alive is the energy and the voice and the excitement that surrounds those objects and those artworks. So through tours that are interactive and lively and through making sure that families and people of all abilities feel welcome to be who they are and to come in and just look and experience in an excited way is imperative to the artwork.
So when is the next sensory morning?
The next sensory morning is also very soon. That's going to be Saturday, February 24th.
So that's a week from this coming Saturday. Thank you for telling us about it.
Yeah, thank you.
Colleen Euler is education coordinator in the Family Programs Department at the Walters Art Museum. Earlier, we spoke with Dr. Wei Sun, principal of the Baltimore Chinese School. The Lunar New Year will be celebrated at the Walters Art Museum, 600 North Charles Street, on Sunday, this coming Sunday, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Sensory Morning Program takes place Saturday, February 24th. We have a link to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cass. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.